Well, bless the name of the Lord. The other thing that I wanted to mention, Rev Jo is being rebellious again. I wanted her to stay home because she's not been feeling good. But you know, it's the way it works. You know what I'm saying? But what it does mean is that for those who go to Bible study on Monday, if you remember, those of you who go to Bible study, you know that I've got I'm going to be in Fall River with Congressman Keating. We're having a clergy roundtable on opiates and awareness and prevention. So I can't be there. And though Matt had volunteered to handle it, I want my wife to have the night off. And talking to a few people that come to the Bible study, they suggested it. So we will not have Bible study this week. We will be talking about the following week, because I know that the following week is Halloween, and I know some people like to be home for Halloween. So we will talk about Bible study the following week. There will be no dressing up to come to my house for Halloween. If you come to Bible study, okay? Yeah, I can just see it now, half of you coming as the devil. No? Is there anybody awake out there? All right, just want to make sure. I have to say something funny first. Romans chapter 5, if you'd turn with me there. We're going to talk about reconciliation. Paul talks about reconciliation many times in the scriptures, but I'm going to give you right now a dictionary version of the word reconciliation. Now again, Israel Kim last week was talking about one of the things that we have to do is get our relationship back with God. And what does that mean? Because if you're sitting in a church on Sunday, you think you have a relationship with God. The question becomes, what is the depth of that relationship? Just because I live with my wife doesn't mean that my wife and I have a good marriage. I just want to go on record right now to tell you that I have a perfect marriage.
Perfect is a strong word.
Okay, so maybe our marriage isn't perfect, but it's as close to heaven as I can get on earth. All right, so maybe not, but on the other hand, if we want good relationship with God, is just like having good relationship with one another, we have to relate. Yes. And part of the relating is understanding that sometimes we have these separations. Separations is handled by reconciliation. The Bible, the dictionary definition. The restoration of friendly relations. So in other words, it is bringing together and reconcilement, pacification, placating, the reconciliation of disputants, those that are arguing, or those that are not in agreement. Another definition is resolution, settlement, and mending, or remediating, a reconciliation of their differences. Also, agreement, compromise. How many people know that there must be compromise in a relationship? Except with God. We don't compromise with God. God doesn't compromise with us. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. The action of making one view or belief compatible with another. He aims to bring about a reconciliation between art and technology would be a way of referring to it that way. And then, of course, there's that which makes Diane happy, the action of making financial accounts consistent and harmonizing. I figured I'd go ahead and say that for you, Diane, just so you could feel good, okay? Reconciling a checkbook. And if I was to hold up my hand and ask everybody how many people reconcile their statements every month, would you even know where your statements are these days? That's the question that I'd have. Because most people do online banking, and most people have no idea why they give you that extra book in the checkbook. What's this thing for? Okay? All I got to do is go online and see what my balance is. Your balance is not how much money is available to you. Your balance is how much money they haven't taken from you yet. Okay? I had an owner of a business that I worked for who always looked to see how much money was in the bank. I said, but we paid a couple of bills. They haven't, have they cleared yet? What I don't know won't hurt me. As you notice, I am no longer working for that business. And that was long before I became a minister. Okay? The thing is it does hurt us. And it's the same thing in our relationships and in our lives. And especially with what we're talking about here, of course, is reconciling with God. The thing is we all have an idea of what's right and wrong. We all have an idea of what's comfortable. We all have an idea of what we'd like. How many people know that it makes no difference what you like? Now, if you want to go by the world standards, what you like is the way to go. Except I've yet to find anybody who's truly happy. 100% of the time. We can have great joy. We can have great times of celebration. We can even have some good feelings. And we can have that more times than we can have the worst, as long as we are consistent in many good patterns of life. But sooner or later, something is going to happen that causes us to have some difficulties in our relationships, in our walk, in our talk, in the way we do things. Sometimes we even confuse ourselves and we get depressed with ourselves and have difficulties with ourselves. Hence, one of the reasons why we became one of the leads in doing suicide prevention. Just to give you an idea, suicide prevention. Well, Pastor, why do you always, you bring these things up and you know, the opiates and the mental health and all this other stuff. Because whether we want to recognize it or not, and that's the problem, most of us have our head in the sand and we don't even stop to understand what's going on. So far this year, 44 people have committed suicide, have died by suicide, I mean, in Bristol County. 11 in New Bedford and or a town that touches New Bedford. So far this year. We're about to have a major trial that's going to take place because of the young lady that helped encourage her ex-boyfriend to get back in the truck to finish what he started. A young man who possibly with the same encouragement could have been saved ended up taking his life. This is not a normal reaction to life. This is not the way things normally go. And what happens is we have these emotions, we have these feelings, we go through daily things. And when we go through them, if we don't stop to work them out, they can overwhelm us. And they can become crushing and unbearable to deal with. As we go through the different things like the addictions and alcoholism, we recognize that a lot of times there is that stuff that we all did when we were kids. And we all did it to one extent or another, whether it was just take a sip of something that Dad had in the cabinet or do something that somebody else was doing at school. And I don't mean to put everybody in the same basket because not everybody has done everything or some things, but more of us have than haven't. But why is it that some people go into that place of deep need and all of a sudden have an addiction that they can't seem to get out of, and others might try something and walk away? Well, I would begin to tell you that I believe that half of it is our physical makeup, our mental makeup. It's being able to overcome the things that we deal with. One of the things that helps us deal with things is our faith. But if our faith isn't strong, and if our faith is not in a place that can give us good footing in any circumstance, then it's like the scriptures say, it's like building a house on shifting sand. Two or three nights ago, there was a tragedy in Boston. Some work was being done, construction on a road, and a water main broke. Two men died. They were 20 feet underground. The water main broke. There were others that were in the hole, but they were closer to the surface. They were able to get out. Two men died. But that water, what it started to do also was started to undermine that whole street, the sidewalk. it was an all-night process to be able to get under there without being able to collapse everything else, to be able to recover the bodies. Now, I tell you the story about that, not so much because of the deaths, but because of what happened when that water started to hit everything. It undermines everything. And now it takes extra work to make the repair, to bridge the gap, to do what's necessary in order to put things right. And that's what happens to many of us. That's what happens to us when we start not recognizing the things that are undermining us emotionally, physically, mentally. So you can be a good Christian. You can be someone who's got a great marriage. You can be someone who's got a wonderful position at work, and everything's fine. But if something starts to undermine and starts to take out the solid foundation that you have, like the water. Water is so beautiful. Water is wonderful in the summer to jump in. Water is wonderful to drink when we're thirsty. Without it, we die. I mean, you can go without food, they say, for 30 days or 40 days. You can go without water for only 3. I haven't tested it. Don't want to, but supposedly you can only go without water for 3 days. You need it. It's vital. But yet the same thing which is a source of life can also be that which undermines. And that's what happens with us because we don't recognize it. Most of the undermining that takes place in our relationships, either with God, with each other, or with our work, or with our surroundings, takes place over time, and it usually takes place below the surface. It usually takes place because of the way we're thinking. And we think things are supposed to be one way, and they aren't. And they start shifting. And all of a sudden, what we think is a good place, what we think is a good area, what we think is a strength, all of a sudden is a major weakness. When they were showing the recovery attempt the other night, and they were saying how unstable the street was, the street looked fine to me. Everything appeared fine. I mean, the only thing that looked like it was bothering the street was that backhoe that they had digging everything up. And quite frankly, there's a lot of us that walk around with everything looking good, but on the inside, we're a total mess. So what does it take? What does it take to help fix that, fill that, and return us back to the place of stability? Reconciliation. We, of course, being in church, we're not going to be doing marriage counseling today, though the principles are the same. We're not going to be doing employment counseling today, though the principles, again, are the same. Friend counseling today, principles are the same. We're going to be talking about godly relationships, and we're going to be talking about primarily our relationship with God himself. Because our faith is only strong when we connect it to somebody that gave us faith in the first place, and that's God. I can have faith in the Red Sox. Where did that get me this year? And how many people do you hear say things like that? I got faith. I got faith in Donald Trump. Where's that getting me this year? I got faith in Hillary Clinton. Where's that getting me this year? I swear to goodness, I think the Saturday Night Live debates are the best debates that have been on TV. Not the real ones, the Saturday Night Live ones. You know what I'm saying? But of course, I'm Christian, so I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I've only heard about it. Drink some more, honey. That cough is going to hurt you. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Are we there? Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, by what? You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You're not good enough, are you? Neither am I. Is there anyone that's good enough? You guys should have been quicker than that, man. You all were starting to think, well, maybe I am. No, you're not. We are saved by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That was verse 2. Verse 3, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Wait a minute. Hold on. All right, just for the new folks here. You're in a Protestant Christian church, okay? We mock up our Bibles, although now that we have electronics, there actually is a place to use highlight. You can actually press, hold your verse, it will highlight the verse, right? But see, I refer to the black magic marker scriptures, the ones that we don't want to read, the ones that we don't like. We want to highlight all the good ones. How many people want to know about how you have riches and glory? We highlight that one 3 or 4 times. We have arrows that point to it. We got little lights that go off when we open the Bible. These are the ones we want, okay? But then there are the scriptures like the one I'm about to read. The one that I'm about to read, a lot of people would rather not see in the Bible, because if it's in the Bible, they're supposed to follow it, and if they're supposed to follow it, they're supposed to like it, and they're supposed to engage in it, and they're supposed to embrace it, and none of us want to. And so that's why I refer to black magic marker scriptures, but I do not want people to use black magic markers. I want you to read these, okay? So here we are, verse 3. We can what? 2, when we run into what? For we know they help us. Endurance develops what? Strength of character. Bob, you've been a character for a long time. It's not always been one of your strengths. We want strength of character. I'm sorry, Bob. That was just too easy. And you can pay me later, Don. Okay. Endurance develops strength of character, and character develops what? Strengthens what? Now, wait a minute. Isn't salvation the most basic thing about our faith? Isn't it the most basic thing about our faith? So why now are we talking about this as a fourth step to get back to what's the most basic thing about our faith? I'm saved by grace, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to get to that in a few seconds. It's not by works, but by faith, right? And yet, this scripture right here is talking about 4 steps to get to that place where we have a confident hope of salvation. Why? Because every day we are challenged. At home, at work, at play. Every day we are challenged with things that enter our minds. Every day we have to remember and we have to work at remembering our faith. Every day we have temptations. Every day we have lack. Every day we have things that we could do, want to do, but shouldn't do. Every day. Every day we have challenges that just seem to want to overcome us, overtake us, we'd rather run from. And yet, let's read verse 3 again. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Problems and trials help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The more trials we endure, the more things that we overcome, the greater the strength that we have. We've talked about this so many times, the different analogies. A weightlifter. A weightlifter, somebody who is exercising with weights. Not necessarily an Olympic weightlifter. I'm just talking about somebody that just hits the gym. What is it that you're doing every time that you're pumping that iron or working those exercises? What is it that you're doing every time you hit the track to start running and doing those endurance sprints and everything else? What is it that we're doing? We're pushing the limits. We're breaking down. I mean, my understanding of the science, and I'm sure there's people here that can explain it a whole lot better. When you're pumping that iron and you're just working, you're actually breaking down the muscle. You're actually causing little tears, which end up being strengthened. That's why you're supposed to only work, you know, like the upper body one day, the legs the next. It gives that recovery time, so things get things grow, you know, so that. You know the thing that we all tell the kids to squeeze? You know, yeah, squeeze here, find my muscle. My kids have a hard time finding mine. So, there's a lot there, Poppy, but we're not sure that's muscle. Thank you, children. I love you too. The person that, anybody want to start running a marathon today? Why not? You haven't prepared for it. In order to run a marathon, if you talk to people, I was talking to somebody who's older than I am, who continues to run and enjoys it, and he's blessed that he's able to continue to run, and he does half marathons. He doesn't do marathons anymore, but he still does half marathons. He's in his 60s, and he's blessed. But he's talking to me like, you know, like I know what he's talking about. Well, I do 5 minutes and 7 minute sprints, and I do this, and he starts talking all this lingo. But that's what he has to do in order to keep his body in shape to be able to do the things. You have to put up with the endurance in order to achieve your goal. It's the same thing. See, we want to go through life without any struggles. We want everything to be perfect. And what happens? The first sign of difficulty, we have no strength for it. We have no capability of handling it. We don't have any capability of overcoming that which is in front of us, because we haven't built up the strength, we haven't built up the endurance, we have not built up the character that it takes. And that's what God wants. God is constantly looking to help us in this place. And this hope, verse 5 again, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What did he give us first? He gave us Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins, it's not by works, because I can't be good enough. I am not good enough. No matter how good I think I am, no matter how good you think I am, no matter how good anybody thinks I am, there's only one person that I'm going to begin to stand in front of who's going to tell me just how good I am. And that person said, you can't be good enough. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son to die in your place. My son's going to pay the price. My son is going to take all your sins, and while I'm at it, he's going to take your wife's, your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your grandparents. He's going to take all your friends, all your coworkers. In fact, he's going to take all your countrymen and everybody that lives on the face of the earth, and I'm going to place all the sins of all mankind on my son who will die to pay the price. And you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you the ability to believe in my son so that you can have salvation. But that's not all I'm going to do for you. So am I beginning to sound like a car salesman? Only thing is, this is like the best vehicle there is to get to heaven. Not only am I giving you my son to give you salvation, so now you're in the car, now I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to fill you with love so that you can endure the things that you have to go through so that you can have the strength, the fuel in the tank to be able to keep going every day, to be able to do what's necessary to get through this time on earth so you can get to the house that I built for you in heaven. I mean, that's the love that God has for us. But you know what? How many of us stop to consider that? going back to what we're talking about, when we want to reconcile with God, we got to be able to have that place. And see, why does he want to give us the ability to be overcomers? Because anything that gets in front of us, anything that distracts us, all of a sudden separates us from the one thing that's most important, and that's him. If we believe that there's a God in heaven, if we believe that there's something more than what we are, then we have to believe that the best thing we can do is to have relationship with him. Otherwise, why did he do what he did, and why are we doing anything? Why do we care? Why are we here on a Sunday morning when we could be somewhere else? Let's continue. Verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, and an enemy would be somebody that's not doing things together, not in agreement, when we were living in our sins, not caring about God, we were enemies of God. Because you're either for us or you're against us is what God has placed in us. And since we've been made, verse 9, and since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. He opened the bridge. He began the process of reconciliation. Man, when he was tossed from Adam and Eve, when they were tossed, when man was tossed from the garden, they had no relationship with God. God would send someone occasionally, speak to someone like a Moses, like Abraham, like Isaac, Jacob. He would speak to the prophets. He would speak through different people to be able to share God's good news, to be able to share even God's warnings. Jeremiah isn't known as the weeping prophet for nothing. But why? Because Israel had gotten to a place where they were so far removed in believing who Jehovah was that the prophet had to keep telling them, listen, if you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen. And there's going to be difficulty, and you're going to have struggles, and there's going to be problems. Please. And if you do love God, God will be able to bless you, and God will be able to pour out onto you. Israel many times wasn't listening to Jeremiah, but sometimes it started to break through. See, the question is where are we today? Because Israel was the nation of the Old Testament that was favored by God and was going to be who God showed his love to the world. We are Christians who today are the ambassadors to the world for God. He's supposed to be able to show his love for the world through us. And yet how many of us sometimes are out there not only not doing what we should be doing as Christians, but sometimes even mocking Christians or mocking what the Bible says. And there's way too many of us that do that. Way too many people on the face of the earth. Oh, I'm Christian. You guys have heard me say this 1,000 times. There are some people I wish would never tell anybody they're Christian because their life is anything but an example of godly living. And their struggles because they have not built up their character. And how do we reconcile? You have to go back. But that's why going back to that verse 3, it talks about the steps that it takes. So even though salvation is quick and easy, if you believe for that moment, now you've got to build on it. Now you've got to, as it says in Romans, transform your mind daily. Now you've got to seek his face. And how do you do that? By staying in right relationship with others so that we can be an encouragement to one another. By attending a church, a Bible study, or other things that can help us strengthen our knowledge of the Word of God, and hence strengthen our knowledge of who God is in our lives. But also to go through the difficulties that exist in life and not fall back but push forward and always look to Him for the answer. Always look to what God can lead us through, God can show us through, because, quite frankly, your anger just angers God. It doesn't help. Now, I believe God handles everything for a season, but when we stay where we are in our problems, God can't help us. God can't help us even if He wants to, because He's already given us all the tools to handle it ourselves. And He's given each other to help us when we're weak. But if I'm going through something and I tell nobody and I try to put up this false front, how can I be helped? If anything, I'll spiral deeper into the ground. And then all of a sudden, somebody will say, how many times have we said this about someone? I never saw that coming. I don't know why that happened. Why? Because we don't trust God. And quite frankly, after we don't trust God, it's hard to trust anybody else. Oh, I'll talk to somebody who can make me feel good, Bob. I'm telling you, my wife has become such a pain, it's difficult to live with her. And then Bob says, yeah, I know, I got one like that at home. We can schedule counseling afterwards.
Okay.
No, that's not really happening, okay? But how many of us do seek like-minded problems? Somebody going through the same thing I am, because I want to feel good about where I am. I want to be encouraged about where I am. It's too hard to push through into where I need to be. Now, marriage is the easy one here. But what we're talking about, and it's the hottest place, and this is what I'm really trying to emphasize, is our relationship with God. Bible tells us, how can you say you love me whom you can't see if you can't love those around you who you can? I'll go one step further. How can you reconcile with somebody that you don't pay attention to? If I go through my week living my life and the only time I think about God, look at God, or try God is when I've got a problem and I expect Him to show up with His debit card to take me out of my problems. I had somebody call me this week. Mad as heck. Got a parking ticket because they parked with their back bumper on a yellow curb. Now, near a garage door business that's hardly ever used. There was another truck on the other side of the driveway that also had its front bumper on the yellow, but that truck didn't get a ticket. And I can't believe this. This is discrimination. This place is hardly opened. And just kept going on and on. And I said, and why are you calling me? Well, you know, is there somebody I can talk to? I says, and what are you going to say? Well, that this is wrong. Okay. Let's take a look at this. Let's just answer one question. Did you pass your driver's test? Yeah, obviously, I drive. Okay. What does it say about yellow curbs? You can't park there. Were you parked there? Yeah. So when you got the ticket, was it because you were parked there? Yes. But so was the other. I don't care about the other guy. Were you parked in a place where you shouldn't have been parked, and did you get the ticket for it? Well, yeah. So, what's the problem? What's the problem? I see, I don't understand the problem. You get a ticket for something that you get tickets for. Yeah, but that wasn't right. The other guy didn't get a ticket. But I'm not worried about the other guy. We're talking to you. Were you parked in the right place? Well, that's not the point. Yes, it is. We're going through life making excuses for what we do because the other person does it. Or because nobody does that. See, the business is highly used, so it shouldn't be that way. And I'm saying, but it's irrelevant. That's the rule. You see? So let's go back. I go to work. I've got a credit card. I can go and do things at times, but if I go to the store and there's something I desire and I put in so many extra hours that I don't get paid for, and I decide, well, it's not going to hurt anything if I put an Xbox on my credit card. All right, maybe that one's a little bit too far. Maybe it's only a PlayStation that I'm putting on the credit card. Or maybe it's a weekend away with my wife on the credit card. Or whatever. The thing is if I do something that I'm not supposed to do and I get in trouble for it, no matter how I try to justify it, it's irrelevant. If it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Period. What really threw me is when I only found out the ticket was only $15. I says, this phone call is going to cost you $25 for counseling. Actually, I don't do that, but I should have. We can justify all the places that we're in, all the things that we want to do, and that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at where we are in our lives. We're supposed to examine ourselves, and we're supposed to be able to go through the moments that only strengthen us. Again, the hard work, the breaking down of muscles and tissues. You know, there's somebody that I have on my Facebook, and there's so many people. I've got quite a few because of all the different things that I'm involved in. A lot of people friend me. And there's this one person that I believe I know from the hospital, but I'm not positive. But apparently she's got a daughter who weighs 116 pounds. Who's doing some weightlifting competitions, 116 pounds, and she's clearing and jerking. You know, that's when you bend over with your knees, you lift it up to your chest, and then you push it up. 116 pounds, and she just cleared 193 pounds in the competition. 193 pounds, 116 pounds. There's 2.5 of her in me, okay? 116 pounds, that's a lot smaller than me. But she didn't do that. If I tried to pick up 193 pounds right now, people would be having to pick me up. And there'd be body parts that are rolling away that have to be picked up. Okay? We have to go through things so that we can become better. The thing is when our strength and our faith is in God, then almost everything we go through can and will be easier. Just like when we hit the gym every day, somebody who's in the battle, somebody who's working the running, somebody who's doing the things necessary, it becomes almost a joy. Challenges, we scoff at challenges. Bring the challenges on because I know that I'm excited about the fact that it's going to make me better. It's going to make me better. And I don't know about you, but I want to be better. Every day, I want to be better. There are times the challenges can overwhelm me, but they don't have to. If I can just pull into God, pull into others around me that love me, care for me, and will build me up. So that when I come see Bob and I say, Bob, you know, my wife is just driving me crazy. Bob says, well, then what's your problem, Pastor? Because your wife shouldn't be driving you crazy. There's obviously something that you're not doing that's making you think that way. Now, sometimes there is the difficulties in both places. But in order for me to have a better relationship, in order for me to resolve issues, in order for me to get over things, I've got to be willing and capable of standing on my feet and saying no more. No more. And whatever it's going to take for me to make it better, that's what I got to do. There's too much at stake. My life, there's too much at stake. My job, there's too much at stake. Well, maybe that's not the right job for you. Maybe you need to be somewhere else. Well, maybe I do. But right now, where I am, I need to work as unto God, because that's what the Bible tells me. And if God opens up another door and he has another place for me, then I'll go. But too many people are running from place to place because instead of standing and fighting, they'd rather run and hide. It's time for us to stop running and hiding. Next week, we'll continue more with this message. But we are going to stand and fight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's too many things that are worth fighting for. Why don't we all stand? You had to inflict pain, did you? I may be old, but I'm like a rock, aren't I? It hurt, huh? We need healing over here, please. Bow your heads. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you that you loved us enough, that you not only died for us, but you gave us your Holy Spirit. And you not only gave us your Holy Spirit, you gave us your word. The Bible, that we may be able to read, to be able to learn and to know who you are. You not only gave us that, but you gave us the body of Christ. You gave us each other. That when we're going through weak times, we can pull into others who can build us up, strengthen us, and lift us up. Father God, we love you today. And we need you more than ever. Because there are times we go through struggles, and there are times that these struggles seem to just overtake us. But in this and in all things, we can always look to you for an answer. And if we look to the world will give us answers. Most of them are not going to be right. Some of them will hit it on the head, but most of us just don't get it through our heads that unless we pull into you, we will never see the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. We thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, again, there will not be any Bible study tomorrow. We'll see you guys next Sunday. And remember to bring food, okay?